Welcome to One Good Thing Media, your official podcast review channel. We search the vast digital landscape on a daily basis to discover the best shows that podcasters have to offer. Are you ready to discover new favorites to add to your playbook? Stay tuned and listen to host Gerald Spear's latest podcast reviews.
People, this is Gerald Spear, and I am your host and creator of One Good Thing Media. Welcome, everybody, to our show. For those of you who are new to our show, here is a quick promo that I just released that gives you everything that we're about in less than a minute. Here you go. Looking for your next favorite podcast? You've come to the right place. One Good Thing Media shares what's hot and what's not in podcasts. Each week, we cover a popular podcast genre that you're sure to love, as well as interviews with experts who can shed some light on why we join cults, why we put up with narcissists, and many other timely topics depending on what genre we cover each week. Like, follow, and listen to One Good Thing Media. Join us today wherever you listen to your podcasts. Today we're going to be talking about what could possibly go wrong when people decide to spend their vacations communing with nature. I was inspired to do this after spending quite a few days in Yellowstone, and I have to tell you, it was almost as if some people left their brains at the ranger's toll booth before entering the park. I watched numerous people trying to, quote, pet the fluffy cows, which of course were bison, and trying to wade into searing hot pools that dot the park. You just never know the limits of mankind. You know, it's really funny, and this is just a by the way, when people get headbutted by bison as the bison are chasing them, they usually lose their pants. There's actually a Facebook page that features this, so I will include the links for all of this in my show notes in case you want to laugh right along with me. They even make like denim earrings as mementos. So I would say that normally we are our own worst enemies, behaving badly and treating the wilderness as though it were Disneyland. But sometimes skilled people, sensible people, prepared people encounter terrible fates, especially when they prefer to take the road less traveled. Leaving the trails and heading out on your own can be exhilarating or deadly, depending on your skill, of course, but also great amount of luck. In the last 100 years, in the national parks in the U.S., over 1,000 people have gone missing and have never been found. Of course, the forests are vast. I mean, Yellowstone alone, I believe, is over 2 million acres. It's huge. You have an accident, you slip and fall off of a trail, down a hill, into a crevasse, somewhere that other people can't see you. And so your body could be undiscovered for decades before someone actually stumbled across your remains. So that's understandable. That does happen. And it also happens that some people just want to disappear, right? They go, oh, I'm going to go camping for a weekend. And they go into the forest and they set up their camp like they're really camping. But in fact, they're just doing it as a decoy while they split and end up in a different state and start a new life. That's understandable too. Some people do that. But where did they go? Is that really what happened to them? Was it really something by choice or by accident? Or did something else happen? I hate unsolved mysteries. There are two truths among many visitors that go to the national parks, and I'm going to get those out of the way before we get going on some story. First, whoever said there is no such thing as a dumb question had never encountered questions about the great outdoors. And the second thing is that many, many people that visit national parks have spent less time outside than eating their breakfast. One rafting guide who was taking multiple groups of people on trips over the course of an entire summer was often asked, "Will we end up where we started?" And he always patiently replied, I'm afraid not. That only happens on lazy river rides at the water park. And of course, other standard questions like, where do you put all the animals at night? When do you turn the falls on? Where is the shuttle to the top of El Capitan? The people that ask these questions are more likely than not to be day trippers. They go in there for the day, they see the sights, and they leave. They couldn't possibly get in trouble, right? There is a wonderful podcast. It's called Exploring the National Parks with Dirt in My Shoes by two dedicated outdoor enthusiasts. Ash is a former park ranger, and John is an expert outdoorsman and hiker. And they go through all the parks. They talk about what you can see, where to go. It's just a really informative podcast. But episode 31 is called Stupid National Park Behavior. It's really worth a listen. They've made up this bingo card where every time you see certain behaviors, you mark it on your bingo card, and they swear it won't take any time at all to fill it up. They also have a section, and it starts at about the 23-minute mark, that talks about two truths and a lie. And they give you three scenarios, and you have to choose which one is a lie. The behavior is so outrageous, and oftentimes the behavior that is the worst is true. Somebody, you know, stomping his feet and kicking up dirt trying to challenge a buffalo, or trying to ride a buffalo, or stealing a baby fawn to take it home as a pet, and just all sorts of things. So I recommend that you listen to this particular podcast. Again, it's called Exploring the National Park with Dirt in My Shoes. They also have a website, dirtinmyshoes.com, that you can actually order your own bingo card for your next trip to a national park. They also have informative itineraries for each park they visited, which are many, and nothing is overhyped in these itineraries. So I'm going to play a little bit for you so you can get a flavor of the show. Here we go.
Okay, so the theme of this one is the things people do for social media, which is a lot.
Yeah. We had a plethora of stories
to choose from. Okay, two truths and a lie. Here we go. A woman answered the mating call of two rutting elk and tried to break up their fight for a YouTube video. That's number one. A man walked within yards of a group of at least five grizzly bears, and someone painted the rocks with their Insta handle in the national parks they visited.
All right, which one is the lie?
Three, two, one. The lie is that a woman did not answer the mating call of the elk and try to break up the fight for a YouTube video. Although I could see, I don't know, I think the term on YouTube or whatever is a Karen. You guys got to stop fighting. Knock it off.
Yeah.
Come on, you two. Oh my gosh. But no, so well, the true ones are so ridiculous too, though. A man walking within yards of a group of five grizzly bears.
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
This was at Katmai National Park, where all the grizzly bears gather.
Well, not just grizzly bears, like the biggest grizzly bears in the world.
Yeah, well, and I changed it to grizzly bears, but if you're in Alaska, they're called brown bears because they're on their own level. But if you've seen the pictures of Katmai National Park, where you have Brooks Falls, and that's where all the grizzly bears go to gather during certain times of year because the salmon are going upstream and they catch them as they go up the falls and they feed on all the salmon.
Right.
And so you'll have, I mean, this area will have tons of grizzly bears just feeding in these falls.
Right.
And in 2018, three men left the authorized viewing platform that's right there at Brooks Falls and got in the water. They got in the water and they walked closer to all those grizzly bears feeding in those falls.
Right.
Like within a few yards.
Which is absolutely insane. Like, these guys, they're eating. That's their thing. Are you thinking to yourself, they're not going to come after me. They're just going for the big fish. Even though, let's see, if I was a grizzly bear, I'm thinking to myself, would I like a fish or would I like a whole week's worth of food right there?
Yeah. Forget the salmon.
Before we go on, I want to talk about how dumb that social media influencer was. She not only, this is so funny, she not only did graffiti on the rocks, she drew heads or something, but when she put her handle on there, of course, that directed everybody to her page because she was using it as a free form of advertisement, and then was absolutely shocked when people found out and contacted the authorities. How about that? The next podcast that I'm going to share with you is called In the Pines, hosted by Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, and Pox, P-O-X. There's also a guest star this time, and her name is Puss in Boots. And Puss in Boots and Pox have their own podcast separate from this that is called, are you ready for this? Pox and Puss. Puss in Boots was brought into this episode because she has got a lot of information and experience in the Appalachian Trail. All of the podcasters on episode 8 are trekkers, and they hike all of the national parks, similar to my previous podcast, but they take a little different route. They talk about, you know, the trails, what they're like. When they report a story, if there's been a crime committed or some cryptid is reported to have been lurking in the woods, they know the areas. They've got the trails memorized, and they can talk about what the terrain was in that particular area when this happened and so forth. But they also cover some things that are a little more deadly, such as in episode 8. Episode 8 is about Geraldine Largay, who was nicknamed Inchworm. She gave herself that nickname, who went off the trail and disappeared. They could not find her until a month later, and unfortunately by that time it was too late. In Geraldine's case, she started the trail with a companion, and when they walked, I don't know, not too long, a few days, her companion received news that there had been a family tragedy, and she had to leave. Geraldine had to make a choice. She could either abandon the trek or go it alone. Geraldine was 66 years old. She had never made a trip like this. She was afraid of the dark. She didn't like to be alone. And she was afraid of fire. Regardless of this, she made the worst mistake of her life by deciding to get back on that trail and continuing her hike alone. And when she was accidentally found by a crew, they discovered what she went through, her philosophy. She gave directions on who to give her worldly goods to. Her telephone showed many times she had tried to reach the outside world, but she just didn't have any cell service. So here's just a short clip from episode, which is episode 8, and I really recommend that you check out the podcast because not only do they respectfully cover Geraldine's case, but also many others with adventures and monsters and criminals and just beautiful scenery.
Last dated journal entry is August 10th. So they start scaling back the rescue, and she's still alive.
Oh,
but they're assuming that it's a body recovery at that point.
On October 14, 2015, a forester from private company began an inventory of trees on land used by the Navy's remote Sierra School. Starting at a point that had been randomly generated by a computer, he walked a straight line, pausing periodically to count trees. At his third stop on a narrow knoll about 100 yards inside the Navy property, he stumbled on an old campsite. A collapsed tent, a green backpack, not far away, he saw what looked like to be human remains swaddled in a sky blue sleeping bag. So the forester called his headquarters, which then phoned the Navy, which alerted the main law enforcement. So it just so happens at this time, just to add another layer of weirdness to this, the Animal Planet has a crew there filming a show called Northwoods Law.
Check out In the Pines. They'll have the full story. They talk about trail names and all different kinds of stuff. And also how Pox, P-O-X, got his trail name. My last review for today is Park Predators, and Park Predators is hosted by Delia D'Ambre. She is an investigative reporter who does an awful lot of podcast work for AudioChuck. I want to give you an example of how she works by playing a clip, simply because this woman is so phenomenal, and I love everything that she does. This particular episode of Park Predator is called The Tent, and it takes place in Iowa. So my question to you as you're listening to this, what would you do if you found out that there was a murder slash maniac running loose in your campground and you don't know where he is and which way is the way to safety?
As Felicia poured herself a cup of coffee, she suddenly stopped. Somewhere nearby, she heard a loud voice, then a bang. The sound was so noticeable, it roused her boyfriend from his sleep. They discussed what the disturbance could have been, but neither could come up with a convincing answer. He settled on the idea that the noises were probably someone lighting up a firecracker, but Felicia had her doubts. Sure, people probably had bottle rockets or Roman candles left over from the previous 4th of July weekend, but in her mind, she thought it was way too early in the morning for someone to be setting off fireworks. So she decided to go outside and investigate a little more. When she opened her camper door, she didn't see anything suspicious or out of the ordinary. No smoke from a smoldering firework, nothing. Just a familiar face standing at a campsite a few spots away. It was one of her co-workers, so she walked over to talk with them. But not long after she strode up, she noticed something unusual in the middle of the campground. There, slowly walking side by side, were two Maquoketa Caves employees dressed head to toe in protective body armor, and they were carrying long rifles. Not the kind of attire she'd ever seen park employees wearing before. When the workers approached Felicia and her friend, they barked a command for them to get out of the campground right away and not come back.
Next week, we have an incredible interview with Takiya LaShawn, and it's about domestic stalking and not only what has happened to her, but what continues to happen because she is still in the midst of that particular situation. It's gripping. I can't wait to share it with you. So make sure that you hit your notifications, One Good Thing Media, and I'll see you all next week. Season 2 of One Good Thing Media has been brought to you by host and creator Gerald Spear. All things technical were fine-tuned by sound engineer David Dodd, and our announcer for all of our shows is Robert Spear. Our theme song for all of Season 2 of One Good Thing Media is Force by AGST.